Thank you, Stephen and Chris, for leading us in our singing today. Always a great privilege for us to be together and have this great opportunity to just be together as family and have a time to visit with each other and share our lives with one another, and also to lift up our voices in praise to God and have the opportunity of studying from His Word. Isn't it great to be a Christian? Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That's what the Scripture says, Ephesians 3:20-21. It's always a delight to, you know, the kids down here to look in their lovely, expectant faces and watching them change and grow up. And that's always a joyful part of our service. It's a hard thing for the preacher to follow, because it's, I think, a very encouraging thing to see these young children. And I want you to know I love Greg McAdams for lots of reasons, but he's just always struck me as a very spiritual man. And Greg, your spirituality was showing today in your devotional, how great it is that the church can come together about that. And that leads me into what we want to talk about: the church, the devoted church. And today's lesson is about reaching our potential. And now Bob Brown has already given me a quote from one of the greater coaches. For a number of years he was at A&M and then off to Alabama. Bear Bryant used to say that potential didn't win football games. Isn't that right? And that potential never won a ball game, I think, is the exact quote. So what we really want to understand today, I hope, is that it happens out on the playing field. It happens in the here and now. I hope that's the way you'll hear this lesson, that we will reach our potential. I've selected a passage from the book of Colossians today, chapter 4, and at verse 5. And it says to be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, and make the most of every opportunity. I hope that you'll read into that the idea of what potential is about. And that is that whenever we meet someone, that we're wise toward them, and that we'll seize the day, so to speak, and make the most out of every opportunity that we have. I've already said to you in last week's lesson, a devoted church, as we read from the book of Acts, and we learned from what kind of great response they had on that particular time, or at that particular time, that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, and the breaking of bread, and of course, prayer. Now, that's not the only thing that the early church did. That is, they didn't just devote themselves to all of these things. They got active about doing them, and they let it become a part of them. So I want to say to you today that there's a lot of passages that I love. One of them, one of my favorite preachers who's gone on to be with the Lord now, Richard Rogers, used to like to quote from the book of Timothy, 2 Timothy, chapter 4, like I like to quote to you from Ephesians 3:20-21. And here the Bible says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, that's the alive and the dead at their appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word and be instant in season and out of season, and reprove and rebuke and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine or teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound teaching. Well, there's a great principle here, an opportunity to preach the Word, and that's what we're talking about today. We ought to do it regularly. Richard used to like to preach that lesson and say regularly and only preach the Word and do it completely and do it lovingly and do it without comparison or compromising and do it prayerfully. What a great message it is. Love the church. Love what Christ gave His life for. I want to say to you today that the church is not only devoted, but the early church was a powerhouse kind of group of people. It is a powerhouse because they devoted themselves to the teaching of the apostles. In the book of Acts is recorded again as we read from this particular passage, chapter 4 and at verses 32 and 33, that the multitude of them that believed were of one heart. They were of one soul. And neither said that anything or any of them that ought to have the things which he possessed was his own, but that all things, that they had all things common together. Now, I think we see this in our practice. I hope you do. This is not talking about that everybody brought all their cash in and dumped it into one bank. But it was talking about them having an attitude of seeing people with needs and taking care of them. When somebody's hungry, what are we supposed to do, Greg? We're supposed to what? Feed them. When somebody needs our help, what are we supposed to do? Help them. That's the idea behind doing this. Now listen what verse 33 says, "And with great power gave the apostle witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon all of them." You remember our last lesson last week was about being devoted because of the risen Lord, and they preached the resurrection. And here it says, they had great power in their preaching because they were preaching that great resurrection. The early church was a powerhouse church. The early church was the kind of people who went about out in the world preaching the Word, and they wound up dividing people's attention because they were preaching the truth. And our Scripture tells us in Acts chapter 14 and verse 4, while they were at Iconium, they were there and they were preaching, and the people of the city were divided, and some of them sided with the Jews and others with what the apostles, in other words, they had come to preach. When they bring the truth out, I think you can see this in life. We always have folks who might have opinions, but the truth about the matter is we have to stay with the Word of God. So when we preach the truth, it sometimes divides people and causes them to go in other places. And the early church was the kind of church that turned the world upside down. In Acts chapter 17 and verse 6, the Scripture says to us over there that very thing. When they did not find them, they dragged Jason. They were at Jason's house, by the way. They dragged Jason out and some other believers before the city officials, and they were shouting, "These men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here," dividing them and turned the world upside down. This was what they were about. They were doing that because they were preaching the Word of God. We read in the book of Acts chapter 16 that the early church was experiencing increases. In fact, there it says they did so daily. They experienced that the church grew in numbers daily. So what am I saying? I'm just simply trying to encourage us. We have a great opportunity coming before us. We're going to have some young men who are being trained to be preachers from the Sunset School of Preaching. It's not called that anymore. I know it has a more sophisticated name. We have the Institute or the Bible Institute up there now, but it's still the Sunset School of Preaching in my mind. Here comes some preaching students, and they're coming to our town, and they're going to go out and get some live experience, and we're going to go with them and help them, right? And we're searching in our community for those who want to know the Lord. We want to have daily responses. We want to see people who respond to the Word of God. Devoted, loyal, faithful, given to study or discussion, as we sometimes say, we're going to have a Devo. That's what we're looking for. We're looking to reach out and say that reaching our potential requires that we continue to believe in these kind of things. I hope you'll see that that's true. First of all, the very first thing is that the Bible is the book. The Bible is the book. This is the instruction kit. This is where we turn. This is where we're going to look. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Your newer version might say, Bobby, that it is God-breathed. Virtually the breath of God. He casts upon us His message, and that it is profitable for teaching or doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for the instruction in righteousness, that the people of God, the person of God, the man of God, may be perfectly and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's where they are, Greg. They're all the good works are in here. Now, I know that we naturally know things that are good to do, like when somebody's hungry, we want to feed them. But the Bible helps us to go beyond that. It helps us to learn that when people are in need, no matter what it might be, we're there to help them and to serve them. That's what they were preaching. They went everywhere preaching the Word. Acts chapter 8 and verse 4 is what it says. And they began to have these responses. I think we spend a lot of time today. In fact, as a preacher, I spend more time preaching to folks like you, I'm going to say the saved folks, than I do the people who really need to hear the Word, what I have to say. Hello? We need to have audiences where folks who need to understand, who need to have the understanding of the message of God. Because we know that it is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe. Romans 1, 16 and 17. And we know that faith comes by hearing, and that hearing is of the Word of God. The Bible is the book. We must continue to believe this. And we want to believe this. I hope that this is what we will all take upon ourselves as our personality to reach our potential. That we, you, me, all of us, we are the people. We're the people whom God expects to carry the message. I don't know whether you recognize it or not, but God doesn't have another plan. The plan God has is that when I hear the gospel and obey it and believe it, is that I share it with someone else. Because we have a treasure in a human body, a great message. We are supposed to be the salt of the earth and be a light to the world. God has always looked, as like Ezekiel says in Ezekiel chapter 22, for a person to stand in the gap. That was someone to help warn the city if the enemy was coming. Always looking for someone to take care of that. I want you to go away today believing that we can be the people that teach others, that bring the message to them. We have to recognize that that is an important part of the concept of carrying the gospel of Jesus Christ. He needs some good people to teach others about the Lord. Our Savior. I hope that you'll be one of those kind of people. daily and in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 5 and verse 42. These are the things that they were busy with doing. They were active in doing that thing. And here's another thing I think that we very often forget, and that is that Henderson is the place. Did you hear that? It's not in Africa. It's not in India. And I'm not saying don't go there. I'm not saying they don't need it. But very often, we get so focused on going somewhere else. But people in Henderson need to hear the Word of God. This is the place. In fact, is that not what Jesus was teaching in John chapter 4 when the disciples had gone off into the city to get some food, and Jesus, in the meantime, is talking to a woman at the well. You remember that story? And when they come back, they tried to give him some food. I don't know if they got if they had Burger King or McDonald's or what they had in town, but they couldn't get him to eat. And he said, "Well, I've got lots to eat. I've got the food of my Father to eat." And they even ask among themselves, "Well, did somebody come and feed him, or what does he mean?" No, he said, "Look out onto the fields. What are they?" Well, you all think that the harvest time is down the road, and I'm saying look to the spiritual field and realize that they are ready to be harvested right now. Now, listen, I've got a lot of preacher stories, but this one's true. Okay? Got it, Doug? This is truth. I know a rancher who tied barbed wire, Donald, sort of like a necklace, if you will, and he hung it around his cattle's neck. I asked him, I said, "What in the world is going on out here in your pasture?" I said, "I noticed your cattle have got barbed wire tied around their necks." He said, "Have you ever noticed that, you know, cattle are always trying to eat the grass on the other side of the fence?" My cattle have quit that. They think they're already on the other side of the fence. All right, now listen, folks. The point I'm trying to make here is that the grass always seems greener on what part side of the fence? On the other side of the fence. That's the point I'm trying to make to you about right here and right now. This is the place. You can work with and teach other people and do something. And do it for God. Believe that the Bible is the book and we are the people. Henderson is the place. And the time is when? It's right now. Right now. It's always time for the gospel. Isn't that right? Learn to be spiritual in your talk. You know, I know we love sports, and I know we love politics, and I know we like to talk about those things because they interest us or have a great interest. But listen, my friend, the message of the saving message of the Spirit of God ought to be on our lips more than it has been in the past. Now is the time. I've heard lots of people tell me over my preaching career that people just say, if I had been there to see Jesus, I might believe that story, but I just don't know if I can buy all of that kind of thing. Well, folks, I want to tell you that you don't have to have been there where Jesus is. Jesus says, "Blessed is he that believes that has not seen." That's us. That's who we are. The place is here, and the time is now. Be wise. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders and make the most of every opportunity. Be devoted. Devoted to the teaching of the Scripture. What the apostles had to say in those days are applicable to us. We might follow them in their teaching and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayer. Some of you are probably aware Rosemary and I, we've been celebrating Rosemary's birthday week. You know how that goes. That's the way it is when you have a big family and you can't always get everybody together on the right time. So, you know, Rosemary's birthday was on one day, but folks couldn't get there on that day, so we planned the birthday down on another day where we would get together and to celebrate. And so we've been kind of celebrating the birthday. That works out real good, doesn't it? I mean, I'm in favor of it. In fact, I'm even thinking I'm going to see if we can get an executive order on that. We'll just change it to birthday week, okay? And maybe somebody will fall for a birthday month. I don't know. But nonetheless, what I wanted to say is this. We were blessed yesterday to have all four of our grown children at our house. They came home. That's sort of a special thing. When you get to be our age and you experience that, you'll know what I'm talking about. I know that many of you know that already. There's just something special about your kids coming home and having them all together. No, we didn't have all the grandkids, and just to be honest with you, I'm thankful for that. Well, because we don't even have room for all of them anymore. There's so many of them. We did have we had a great grandchild, and we had about four other grandchildren with us, along with our children. I thought how wonderful that is. I was thinking about it this morning, how great it was. I'm happy that I got to see their taillights going down the street and things had calmed down in my house. I'm back to my normal way of living. But you know what? God is happiest when His children come home. And there might be some of you in this audience today that have been away from home. You need to come home and be with family. There's no reason for you to be away. Our kids didn't want to go home yesterday. In fact, I was scared a couple of them were going to stay. I'm not. I'm just funny. God wants us at home. He wants our family to be together. You may be here today with a need. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to welcome you back home. We'd love to study with you so that you might make it your home. Why don't you come while we stand and sing?